13 years ago, America was brutally attacked on 9/11, that is, September 11, 2001. Some 3,000, mostly citizens as opposed to soldiers, were attacked and killed by radical Muslims, and they didn't even know that we were at war. To discuss this issue in a retrospective is Dr. Paul Kanger, an extraordinary American historian and author of many books and a professor of history at Grove City College, and one of my favorite guests. Dr. Paul Kanger, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jerry, and that's too kind.
Well, so tell me, here we are on this anniversary of 9/11. How do you think we're doing in the big scheme of things in the war related to radical Islam?
Well, not well, and it seems to be getting worse. I mean, I don't know, gee, where to start in the Middle East. Every country, practically every country, not to pin the blame or be unfair or focus just on Obama, but, four or five countries at least there are much worse off right now in 2014 than they were in 2008. Now, I know people listening, especially from the left, will say, well, Iraq is worse because of that war that George W. Bush got us involved in. Look, what's happening in Iraq right now at this moment wouldn't be happening at this moment if George W. Bush hadn't done what he did, but it probably would have been happening in Iraq 5, 6, 10, 15 years from now. It's hard to say what could have been, what might have been, what might have happened otherwise. The one thing that we've really blown in the last few years in Iraq in particular, Jerry, is that we should not have pulled the troops out. I said that over and over again at the time. I know Obama ran on that. Hillary Clinton did not run on that. Hillary Clinton supported the surge in 2007. And
she voted for the war in the first place in the 2002
right.
or 3 2003.
That's right. That's exactly right. She did. Look, we have had, and I kept saying this till I was blue in the face a few years ago to my liberal friends and on talk radio shows and so forth. It didn't seem to matter. We have had troops in Germany for 69 years.
Wow.
Since the German surrender. We have had troops in Japan for 69 years since the Japanese surrender. We've had troops in Korea for 61 years since the end of the Korean War. We've had troops in the Philippines for almost 70 years. So why was it that we had to suddenly pull every troop out of Iraq within 3 or 4 years? That was a completely unrealistic, really, really bad idea.
Wasn't that in part because, or large part, because the prime minister or the president of Iraq wanted us to leave?
Well, I don't know if he wanted us to leave. It's never easy. It's never cut and dry. I mean, after World War II, Japan was a complete mess.
Yeah.
I mean, what General Douglas MacArthur had to take over, and how he had to work, what he had to work with in Japan, a country that had completely lost its mind in the 1930s and 1940s, and yet we worked it out. We figured out a way to do it. But this is what presidents get assembled foreign policy teams for. Certainly the situation in Iraq for us and our troops was far worse in 2005, 2006 than it was in 2011 or 2012. And yet George W. Bush, through General David Petraeus, figured out a way to make it better with the surge, and the surge worked. But with Obama, that was never the thinking. The goal all along had been get those troops out of there as quickly as possible. Bush is bad. Iraq war bad. The liberals hated Bush, hated the Iraq war, so they wanted to get the troops out as quickly as possible. But you can't do that. We shouldn't have pulled out when we did, and I think that in particular is why we're seeing this surge of ISIS and this really horrible situation that's going on there right now.
Hmm. Well, 9/11, of course, spawned the war on terror. That was Bush's response to it. Then President Obama said a few years ago, instead of having a war on terror, what we're going to have is, I think they gave the name the overseas contingency operation. I'm
right.
not sure what that means, but
yeah.
But I mean, obviously, Obama hasn't been able to get out of Iraq quick enough, or even Afghanistan. In fact, I'm surprised. He's probably disappointed he hasn't been able to pull out of Afghanistan. And I hope he maybe will think twice about it in light of what's been happening in Iraq. I mean, look at all those dead Iraqis, including a lot of Christians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cataclysmic. I mean, it's awful what's happened with the Christians in Iraq and really throughout the entire Middle East. And, you know, here, too. So, I have friends on the conservative side that will say, we went to war in Iraq, and now you've had this massive exodus of Iraqi Christians and a persecution of Iraqi Christians unlike we've seen in not just centuries, but maybe millennia. And, yeah, that's true, but that's going on in Syria, too, and we didn't invade Syria. It's going on in Egypt as well, and we didn't invade Egypt. So it's just like all hell is breaking loose there. Literally, I mean, all hell is breaking loose. And I told my students, Jerry, that when I was an undergraduate, when I was in graduate school in the early 1990s, and I was agnostic, and I was studying the Middle East, and I used to tell my supervising professor that I did research for, I used to say, you know, nothing short of God Himself can straighten out this mess. And I feel that way even more so. I don't know that there's any political solution. I don't know that there's any military solution. It just seems hopeless, and that it's just always going to continue to get worse for Christians there, for stability, for everything. If ever there was a case study for Armageddon, I mean, this seems like it.
You know, it's funny you should mention that since you're an historian. This is just a little side note, but I read in a book that was written about 20 years ago about the history of warfare, and I believe the name of the author was John Keegan, K-E-E-G-A-N.
Sure.
Oh, you've heard him. Okay.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But I read in that book, if I understood him correctly, that the first recorded war in the history of the world was in 1469 B.C., and it was at Megiddo, which is in today in Israel. Well, our word Armageddon is derived from Har Megiddo. So
that's right.
And if that's correct, that there's a kind of an interesting twist there in historically that the first battle in history and the last battle in history, as we know it according to the Bible, all in the same place there in what we now call today Israel.
Right. Yeah, there's a spot there called Har, H-A-R, Megiddo, or Megiddo.
Right, Megiddo,
That's right. And there have been, they believe, more battles fought there at any other point or in any other place in all of history.
Oh, wow.
It's in the Jezreel Valley in Israel. And some people think that that's exactly where Armageddon,
comes from. That's exactly comes from. Yeah, that's fascinating. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, and to add to that, I mean, in the Bible, in Genesis, the Bible describes the Garden of Eden as being right there on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates.
Yeah,
in fact, Genesis uses that. You could find it. It's really easy to find. It uses the word Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And you know, that area where the Garden of Eden would have been, which is near the city of Ur, U-R, that's ancient Mesopotamia, which today is modern-day Iraq.
Wow. Yeah, and by the way, here's a little Greek lesson. Meso means between, and Potamia means rivers. So between the rivers, it's the land between the rivers. So,
interesting.
So tell us about these beheadings. I mean, it just seems so barbaric.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially these Americans, you know, these are being targeted, and, you know, one of the ones doing the cutting with the knife and everything saying, Obama, this is for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely awful. It's so depressing, and you know we have the video of it. I haven't watched it. I haven't actually watched the video. I don't want to see it. I almost feel like it's disrespectful to the people that it happened to watch. Although maybe in a sense out of respect for the people to identify with what they went through, maybe I should watch it. But my imagination is such that I could figure it out. I can picture it. But it's horrible, and unfortunately it's not an anomaly for what radical Islamists have been doing. ISIS was reportedly beheading little children in parts of Iraq just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, of all people, Pope Francis came out and seems to have advocated a military solution.
Military.
There, according to the Vatican spokesperson, just because it's reached a point where there seems no other possible solution to it than to use military force against ISIS. I don't know if you saw the images, Jerry, a couple of weeks ago. The one Islamist who was smashing up the tomb of Jonah, what's reported to be the tomb of Jonah, and he looks almost demon possessed.
Wow.
He's got a black hood on. He's jumping up and down. It's almost demonic. It seems they're so filled with hate and rage and anger and death and destruction. I don't know what else to say.
We're talking right now with Dr. Paul Kanger, K-E-N-G-O-R, professor of history. Do you think, in terms of our U.S. response to 9/11 and ever since, that in dealing with radical Islam, in a sense, we're doing so in a way that's politically correct?
Yeah. Is Obama doing so in a way that's politically correct? I think so. I mean, there's a fear in calling a spade a spade. George W. Bush did the same thing. I mean, George W. Bush certainly didn't hold back on using the military to try to end the problem. But George W. Bush would say all the time that Islam is a religion of peace.
Yeah, how could it be a religion of peace when you see what it's actually happening all the time? And not just from one group, but from this group and that group and the other group. They might not even be related to each other, but they're all reading the same book.
Yeah, and there's another Bush quote, and I use this in my book, God and George W. Bush, which came out about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had a section just on Bush quotes about Islam, and it was to refute liberals who were saying that George W. Bush was beating up on Islam and being cruel. I mean, if you read George W. Bush's statements on Islam, they sound like they're from a Muslim.
Mm.
They were so glowingly positive. And one of the worst of all of Bush's quotes, and these are the exact words, Jerry, Bush said, Islam, the Quran teaches tolerance, he said. And it does not.
Hmm.
It simply does not. Now, you could have moderate Muslims, modern-day Muslims, who read those verses in the Quran in a different way, and they in turn push or preach tolerance. But going sola scriptura, by the letter of the word and what the book actually says, I mean, there are sections in that book that say things like lop off the head of the enemy on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
That say extremely negative things about women. I mean, that stuff is in the Quran, very clear and indisputable.
Slay the infidel wherever you may find him. Let them find a harshness within you. Now, I will say, in defense of Bush on this point, you could find certain verses in the Quran, that promote, let's say, tolerance. There's a famous one that says there should be no compulsion in religion. But basically what it boils down to is that those earlier verses were believed to have been abrogated by the later verses that are more violent in tone.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it is, you don't have to cherry pick bad verses to make a case against Islam. I mean, if
pick up the paper.
Yeah, the Quran is about the length of the New Testament. There's 114 surahs or chapters in the book. And I mean, read the one called Muhammad, the one called Cataclysm, the one called Mary, the one called Women, which I think is Surah 4. I don't have it in front of me, but this is off the top of my head. These are extremely negative verses, and there's just no other way around it.
Hmm. Okay, we have less than 20 seconds. What do you want to say in conclusion about 9/11 remembered?
Well, I mean, it was clearly one of the worst days in American history. It's this generation's Pearl Harbor. And I think in many ways, especially given the tone of this conversation, I think the 21st century, which is going to be a really bad one, maybe even more barbaric than the 20th century, I think it began on September 11, 2001.
Dr. Paul Kanger, American historian extraordinaire.